Good morning. It's March 14th. It is a sunny and pleasant morning in New York City. The cat is walking on the desk and making noise. And this is your Indignity Morning Podcast. I'm your host, Tom Skoka, taking a look at the day and the news. It's another new and varied front page in today's New York Times. Before we get to the new things that happened, a quick peek inside the paper finds that the conclusion to the presidential nominating contest ended up winning a spot on page A15. As the pretense of the horse race gives way to the actual stasis of Trump versus Biden? Or are things so static? The number two story on the front page, in the second column from the right, is about the House passing its TikTok ban. This feels like a super inane and boring turn of events, except for the fact that it really is a turn of events. As John Herman wrote in New York Magazine, it's not clear that the people who came together to pass a bipartisan ban on TikTok in the House, in the absence of pretty much any other legislative action on anything, knew or particularly cared what they were doing. It's not even clear what they did do, whether the measure, if it makes it through the Senate, would shut down TikTok or force it to find a non-Chinese buyer. Steven Mnuchin, the Trump administration's Treasury Secretary, popped up this morning to announce that he'd be interested in buying it. Given that Mnuchin, immediately on leaving office, collected $1 billion from the Saudis for his investment fund, this would sort of remove the whole angle where the legislation is supposed to protect Americans' data from surveillance and exploitation by an abusive foreign dictatorship hostile to U.S. interests. But it's an app. The kids today are on it. It's probably bad. China is involved. So why not do something? The whole thing has a sort of Brexit vibe to it, a not especially well-considered gesture of nationalism that everyone involved seems to believe is safely hollow, but which will, in fact, do something in the real world, possibly, as Herman noted, pissing off millions of young people by taking away an app they like, certainly antagonizing China over something that has no real strategic purpose. Meanwhile, for those who care about the children, on page A14, the Times reports that an expanded child tax credit bill that the House did pass is hung up in the Senate. The Times writes, as Republicans balk at legislation they regard as too generous to low-income families. And who has time to sort that out when the TikTok bill is coming through? In other news from the line where political inanity meets political reality, the bottom of page A16 looks at Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s outreach to Aaron Rodgers of the New York Jets to run for vice president on his presidential ticket. Lots of coverage of this has dealt with the fact that Rodgers is an annoying kook, including one reporter getting around to mentioning that years and years ago, Rodgers raved about how the Sandy Hook shooting was a fraud and a hoax, something that it might have been worthwhile to tell the public back then. Anyway, it's out there now. But this Times story is the first one I've seen really bring into the foreground the fact that Aaron Rodgers has a job. If his leg doesn't fall off again, he's supposed to be the starting quarterback for the New York Jets, who will be playing football games this fall during the stretch run of the presidential campaign. If the Jets were to do well and succeed with Rodgers at quarterback, they won't, but if they were, he could end up deep in the NFL playoffs on Inauguration Day. Vice president isn't much of a job, but it still is a job. You're getting paid a full-time salary out of the U.S. Treasury to show up and do something. Obviously, there's a huge amount of pretending going on in caring about who Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s running mate is going to be at all, but there's pretending and there's just plain nonsense. Just logistically, Aaron Rodgers is in no position to be vice president. Reportedly, RFK Jr.'s other choice would be Jesse the Body Ventura, which would give the 70-year-old Kennedy, running as a change agent, a 72-year-old running mate. Even the stunt candidates are part of the gerontocracy. The lead story on page one is that the federal government completely botched the rollout of its new college financial aid system. The Education Department, which was supposed to be simplifying the process, did not do that. The Times writes, for nearly 6 months, students and schools navigated a bureaucratic mess caused by severe delays in launching the website and processing critical information, a series of blunders by the department, from a haphazard rollout to technical meltdowns, have left students and schools in limbo and plunged the most critical stage of the college admissions season into disarray. Maybe Aaron Rodgers can head up a task force to fix it. Elsewhere on page one, there's a look at the people trying to restore telecommunications in Gaza without being blown up by the Israeli military that blew up the telecommunications systems. And the Times tries to figure out who should be responsible for doing something about all the school-age Ecuadorian children who are roaming around the subways and the rest of the city selling candy instead of getting an education. None of the relevant departments seem to care very much. A little alarmingly, with an enforcement question hanging open, they seem to tend to gesture toward the NYPD as the last resort of the notion that somebody should do something. Luckily, in this case, the NYPD doesn't seem to care. Who can chase child candy vendors through the subway when they're busy playing Candy Crush on their phones? That is the news. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Indignity to keep us going. And if all goes well, we will talk again tomorrow.